stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome to Administrative Static, and I'm John Vecchione, and I'm joined, as usual, by Mark Chenoweth and Janine Eunice. And first up on our agenda is a new case that we filed, Colton Joe Trucking, LLC versus U.S. Department of Labor, et al. And what's happened here is, you know, we've talked about the uncertainty of regulation when Congress doesn't define things. And this case is a good example of it. You would think by now, everyone's heard of independent contractors. You would think by now, if the federal government's going to regulate labor and independent contractors, there would be a clear rule saying exactly in the statute what an independent contractor is, what an employee is, all these things. Well, there is not. And the Labor Department has taken this hole and run with it. And what they've done in this case is define it. I'll start from the beginning. The rule about who's an independent contractor. And the idea here is that if you're an employee, there's certain rules that apply. It wage and hour, minimum wage, lots of rules apply to employees. But independent contractors, those rules don't apply to, and they can make their own deals. And they have. And the key under the old regulation was whether or not the employee, the person working for you, I'll say you're hired, the person you've hired, can make their own time, you know, take care of their own time, and also have control over their work. You're not telling him how to perform his work, for instance. So it really had two prongs.
So an employee, you say, you got to show up from 9 to 5.
Yep.
You're going to do the work I give you, et cetera. An independent contractor, you say, hey, I need this done by a certain time. And they decide when they're going to work on that and when they're going to get that done.
Yeah. And one of the those of you who have someone come and do work on your house, right? That's
sure.
A classic independent contractor. As you know, they do not show up when you want them to.
But they are contractually obligated to finish it by a certain time,
correct,
or there's consequences.
Correct. Yeah. So in any event, the new rule that has been put in is standardless because they've put in so many the two factors that they used to look at, they no longer look at, and they put in like six of them. And if you're trying to hire an independent contractor, you don't know if you are going to get hit by the Labor Department for overtime and a whole bunch of things because you can't tell beforehand whether or not you've got an employee or an independent contractor. And that just gums up the work of commerce. It is an absolute, particularly for small businesses. And that's another thing about this case, Mark, that I really, you know, regulation is just a bane of small business, and it just helps large industry because large industry can negotiate this stuff, can figure out, well, we'll if it's an employee, we'll do this. If they later turn out if they say it's an employee later on and not an independent contractor, we can deal with that because they're big and they can negotiate.
And
out.
We saw that a lot during COVID where the big businesses figured out how to stay open and the small ones got shut down.
Got crushed, right? Yeah. And so all regulations always present it as if it's going to be a great thing and that these smart bureaucrats are going to be able to figure it all out. But so let me just say here. So the Labor Department had said in a 2021 rule, so not long ago, that businesses could classify workers as independent contractors if they exercised independent judgment and control over their work and could profit as a result. That's the other thing. If you're an independent contractor, your control of your work allows you to profit from it. It's not like you're just getting paid no matter how many widgets you do. And that was a pretty simple rule, and it kind of focused on independence, which is, I think, the main thing for an independent contractor. And certainly when you talk to small independent contractors, that's what they care about.
Well, I mean, let's take a step back, because the reason that NCLA cares about this case is because the Fair Labor Standards Act hasn't changed. The statute is the same. But you have an agency of the federal government trying to write, the U.S. Department of Labor, trying to write new rules based on a statute that has not changed. And for years and decades, independent contractors were understood a certain way. Now, that changed under the Obama administration. It changed back during the Trump administration. And now the Biden administration has changed it back again. But up until the Biden administration, everyone understood what an independent contractor is. The reason they've been trying to change it is because they want every employee of McDonald's to be considered an employee of, you know, somebody like McDonald's. Now, this is the joint employer rule, not the independent contractor rule. But there's a goal here with the different
it's
rules
parallels.
That are changing. It's parallels. They're trying to make it easier to unionize people across these different places, and you can't unionize an independent contractor. You can only unionize an employee. And so this is driven by an ideological agenda that's inconsistent with the point behind the Fair Labor Standards Act. The point of the Fair Labor Standards Act was never to maximize the number of people who are considered employees versus the number of people who are considered independent contractors. The point of this of the law was to make it clear who is an independent contractor and who is an employee, so that people can decide which bucket they want to be in. Both employees and or you know would be employees, would be independent contractors can decide, and employers or people who retain independent contractors can decide. And this rule makes that more difficult. It doesn't make it easier. So it's antagonistic to the goals of the Fair Labor Standards Act. You know, I would argue, particularly the fact that you can retroactively punish people under this rule for having made improper worker classification decisions in the past under the old definition. That is not going to stand up in court, but somebody is going to get prosecuted for that and is going to knuckle under because it's going to be too expensive
and
to fight.
It's not going to be Walmart.
It won't be Walmart. Walmart would fight that. But it could be somebody like Colton Joe Trucking, which is why we're standing up.
Right.
For them. And we're not just standing up against the Department of Labor. We're standing up against Acting Labor Secretary Julie Hsu, because she does not have the authority to promulgate this new rule. She is
acting.
She's been claiming these secretarial powers for over a year without Senate confirmation in violation of the Appointments Clause. And that's another problem with what's going on here, is that the Senate has not been – this is a Democrat-controlled Senate, mind you, has not been willing to confirm Julie Hsu in this role. Why? Because she's a radical.
But it's worse than that, Mark. She's not been confirmed, according, I think, to both Senate and Manchin, because this is what she did in California. They don't like this rule.
Right.
And
right.
So she's promulgating a federal rule that they didn't like in California because they think it hurts the economy and it hurts their states.
It does.
And the thing is that's why she wasn't confirmed. And yet as acting, she's doing the thing she wasn't confirmed for. I mean, I don't remember a case like this. I don't remember a case where, because sometimes there's other reasons you're not confirmed, but I have a hard time recollecting when somebody wasn't confirmed for a position because of some policy issue, and then they were put in somehow and made acting and then did the thing that they weren't confirmed for. I mean, that's really hitting right at the base of Senate confirmation, a constitution.
Well, absolutely, and it's there is not a majority in the Congress that supports this. Clearly, there is not. And that's why they're doing it administratively, but that's also why it's constitutionally illegitimate what they're doing.
And we say in the complaint that the other thing about it is they claim that they're doing this because some court is forcing them to do it. They say that there's all this precedent, but it's not true. And you know what the courts really do not like, particularly under the APA, but they don't like standardless measurements. And what the Labor Department has done here is make standardless measurements so that they can come back and say you violated their clear rule and punish you for it when nobody beforehand could know whether it was right or wrong. And that is just bad. I mean, that is bad even if you like regulation. If you're a pro-regulation guy, you wouldn't want regulations that kind. I mean, who's the guy, the nudge guy?
Sunstein.
Yeah, Sunstein wouldn't like this. You know, it's just not the way you're supposed to do this unless what you're doing is trying to screw up the works.
Yeah. I prefer nudge when I'm talking about Cass Sunstein, but it's probably a little different. But no, look, you're absolutely right. The whole point of the rule of law is so that people can avoid the cut of the law ahead of time. You're supposed to be able to shape your conduct before you violate the law so that you can avoid violating the law. If the rule is written so vaguely that really the point here is that the rule is written in such a way that you have to classify everyone as an employee or you run the risk of them coming after you if they decide to come after you. That's the point of what they've done. And so they're trying to destroy the independent contractor model because they don't like the independent contractor model. The problem is lots of employers and lots of people who act as independent contractors love the independent contractor model and want to use it. And freedom is about allowing people who want to hire people to work and people who want to work to come together under contractually free, mutually agreed to situations. And the Department of Labor's job is not to get in the way of that, but that's what they're doing here.
Yeah. And so the other thing that happens here that is is they don't just do it with this. They're doing it across a range of different employer-employee matters. I mean, they hate Uber, right? So they can't stand
the gig economy.
The gig economy. And where there's problems with it or not, once again, Congress knows there's a gig economy. Congress could say any of these things. But they say, oh, we're the administration that and the agencies that in charge of this. So we're in charge of this whole industry, however we like to do it. And that is not how law is made. So we are going to strike at this in the courts. And I think
District of New Mexico. I don't think we said that. Colton Joe Trucking, the U.S. Department of Labor.
Yeah. And we'll let you know how it turns out. We'll be back right back.